Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. All right, welcome everyone. This is Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network, circling the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the globe. And now, welcome to episode 3 of Cultural Excellence in Music, Business, Art, Entertainment, and a whole lot more, and education. And I am delighted to have today a special guest is with us tonight, and that is Dr. Charletta Barringer-Brown. Hey, good afternoon, Doctor. Good evening, rather.
Greetings. How are you?
Oh, sounds good. Oh, doing great. And we also have Dr. Aldrich here, Dr. Patricia Aldrich. Many of you in the Richmond, Virginia area know her. Hey, Dr. Aldrich. Come a little bit closer to the mic. Okay, all right. I know you're not afraid of it.
No, you're not.
Not at all. Well, anyway, we're delighted today because there is an election coming up. I believe, is it November 6th or November 7th?
November the 7th.
November the 7th. Come a little bit closer.
Yes.
November the 7th. And the election now, you are running for the Dale District School Board. Is that correct?
That is correct. I am running for Dale District School Board in Chesterfield County, Virginia.
Okay. Now, before we get into that, we want to ask you a few more questions, and we're going to have some fun. How about that?
All right.
Okay. Right. Elections can be fun too.
Yes.
And this one is going to be. And we're going to encourage that each and every one of you in the area that's eligible to vote in that district, please come out. You know, your vote matters. Every vote matters. Just don't think, say, hey, she's got this. Okay. Show up and please. But anyway, I want to, talk about your background, Dr. Brown. Let's talk a little, because I read your resume, and it's quite extensive. And so we want to share with the audience who are you, where were you born and reared, and your education. We want to talk about that, because I was very impressed with your extensive resume. So let's start with this. Where were you born and reared?
Well, I was born in Washington, D.C., and I grew up, I'm a lifelong resident of Chesterfield County, and I also am a product of the Chesterfield County schools as well.
Okay, and let's talk about your educational background a little bit. And Dr. Aldrich, I want you to jump in too, because I'm sure you have some questions that I may not remember to ask. You're born in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
One of my favorite towns.
Yes.
A little congested, but I love it.
Yes.
I love Washington. They used to call that the Chocolate City.
That is correct. my mother and father were working at the for the U.S. Department of Navy, and they were both working at the Pentagon in high-level positions, and that's why I was born in Washington. But my mother was from Chesterfield County. Yes.
Wow. That has to be pretty amazing. Now, did you get a chance to visit the Pentagon?
Oh, yes, of course. I've been there numerous times through the years. And I tell people, it's actually not Washington, D.C. It's actually just Northern Virginia.
Yep, absolutely. Yes. No question about it. So tell us a little bit about your experience. Now, you came to the Chesterfield area at what age?
Well, I'm going to tell you, and that goes into my educational background. When my mother returned, we returned to Richmond, Virginia. And at the particular time in the mid to late 1970s, there was gerrymandering, and I attended three schools before I finished the first grade, meaning that I started at Patrick Henry Elementary. I went there for kindergarten, and then for the first grade, I went to what is now known as Swansboro Elementary School, but it was Franklin Elementary at the time that I attended the first grade. And so my mother said, well, you know, here we are, we haven't even moved, and she's gone to two different schools in 2 years.
Amazing.
So we then moved to Chesterfield County, where, my mother's parents were from, and I started the first grade at Greenfield Elementary, and I was retained. I failed the first grade because I could not read on level. And that was the beginning of the process of me understanding education, that when my principal, God rest her soul, Elizabeth Gibbs, made sure that I was reading on grade level. But what adds to that is the fact that I went from the first grade through the fourth grade with no black classmates, no other students of color in my grade, and no teachers of color in my school. And so I was a standout. But as people say, I always persevered because I came from a very proud family, and I always had a lot of self-confidence. And so that helped me along the way. My mother was a mathematician. She was a a teacher to begin with, and then she was a statistician in various federal agencies. So I always had the family support, and I came from a family of educators. And as I moved through the grades and when I got to high school, I was able to kind of recoup that time lost by being retained in a grade. And so I was able to, you know, basically catch up with my classmates and to graduate on time or to finish school on time. But from there, I just continued on, and I just saw a benefit for government, number one, because of the experiences that I had had. I have a background in psychology, master's degree in special education. I have a PhD in public policy and law, and I have an EDD, which is a doctorate of education in administration and supervision of special education. I'm also endorsed up to the superintendent's license in 5 different endorsement areas, which are LD, ED, psychology, administration, supervision, up to the superintendent's license.
That's pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing. Now, now is this your first go at it as far as getting into politics, or have you done pursued this before?
I'm going to tell you, I actually was a child who, in the first grade, dressed up like Shirley Chisholm. I have always, that was my book report. I actually have always been interested in politics and government. I just always found it to be intriguing. I like to watch people. Barbara Jordan, I love to just watch
so
her and
I.
listen to her speak. Even as a child, obviously in the 1970s, but as a child, I would watch these figures and I would say, wow, I was more excited about that than anything. I remember, when the Jackson Five quote came to, the Coliseum in the 1970s, again, when I was in elementary school, and my mother was more excited about going to see them than I was because I was excited about the politicians.
Oh, that's good.
I was excited about going to the state capitol.
Oh my.
And I've
goodness.
Always been that way. I've just always been involved in politics. I've always been around it. I remember going to work with the Wilder campaign when I was in high school as a high school senior. I just was always around and involved in politics. I also was a full professor of political science and public administration. I have held other positions at the state and federal level as well as far as administration myself. So I've always been around it. I've always been involved in politics one way or the other, either teaching of it, either the study of it, or just involved in social action in general.
You know, I love the fact that you are involved in politics. I love the way you speak. And speaking of Barbara Jordan, it was something about, she was so elegant. I mean, oh my goodness.
Her eloquence was just, it was amazing. And like I said again, as an auditor, orator rather.
Absolutely.
Just like I said, just as a child, just sitting and watching that, the way that she could use her words to convey to an audience and to get them involved in that process, to make them feel like they were a part of it and that she wanted to be part of that just from her speaking was something that drew me in as a child. And so I've always had that that ability to just understand what, quote, as they say, just your community, just being wanting to be a part of it, wanting to be that person to help people understand and navigate that process. Especially in education, we deal with, I've taught every facet of education. I have taught in correctional, alternative, public, private, 2-year, and 4-year institutions. And when someone says all facets, that's what they would truly mean if they say all facets of education. I have worked in all facets, hands-on, and as an administrator, and also have a background in research in working with those particular fields, areas, and schools to help better them and to understand what the process is to make policy changes that would be effective for children, parents, and the community.
I absolutely love this. And you know, and speaking of Barbara Jordan, you know, I would sit in front of her and I would hang on every word. It was almost like I was hypnotized. It was just so amazing. And I love the way you speak as well. And I know that running for the school board in the DO district, I know that's important to you, but I wish you were Secretary of Education for the United States.
You know, people say that, but I want to tell you, and I always tell people, it's not always about what you know, it's about who you know. And so, in a situation like that, because,
oh my goodness,
I tell people, you have to really understand education to really be a secretary. And we haven't seen that. I have not seen that.
Right.
And so when people are making decisions, they're based on their personal biases or, you know, or what they're for or what they're against. And I try to be very fair-minded in the way that I approach things. But I think as a secretary of education, there are so many things that are changing in our landscape with regard to education mm-hmm. that we really need to kind of sit back and say, we're graduating students that can read on have a GPA of a 0.1 GPA.
Wow.
And when that person has been told that, quote, they're certified and ready to go to work, to college, to a trade, they're not.
Right.
But they don't understand that they're not because someone has certified them as such.
Absolutely.
And so that's my reason for running. The fact that I began my teaching career in the Dale District, I worked for an alternative school that was out of Manchester Middle. I worked at Manchester High School, which was part of the Dale District at one time. I also worked at Elsie Bird High School as a special education teacher. When I tell people I have been in the trenches working, I truly mean that and truly can stand by what I say. Even being a certified, like I said, being certified up to the superintendent's license and having 4 to 5 certifications, I have to go back every few years myself to become recertified.
Mm-hmm.
And people do not understand the process to do that I am a fully certified teacher. And that's one of my platform issues, having quality, credentialed, certified teachers in the classroom. People do not understand what that means. That means a lot for a child who is going through K-12 to have a fully certified teacher, providing a safe environment for someone to teach in, and providing an environment where children can learn. All children can learn.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Aldridge, I'm sure you have some questions. You know this lady, young lady is... I'm calling you young lady. I'm sorry, doctor. But yeah.
I've known her for over 20 years.
Okay.
But I met her mother first. When I was in elementary school, there was one elementary school for blacks and one high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we were attended Hickory Hill at that time, and that was Henrico.
Chesterfield. My mom went to Hickory Hill.
Yes. And so my parents also went to Hickory Hill. I went to Hickory Hill, and
amazing.
Dr. Branger Brown's mother was Miss Cheatham. Hmm. Everybody loved Miss Cheatham, but I wasn't fortunate enough to have Miss Cheatham because she taught third grade,
okay.
And we moved in my second grade year.
Mm-hmm.
However, I knew her, my brother had her, and was crazy about Miss Cheatham.
Amazing.
And so... when I met Dr. Beringer Brown, I actually met her doing research.
Hmm.
I was working at TTAC, and she came in to get some stuff. She says, I'm researching something. And so I said, well, what do you do? She says, I'm a professor. And I said, wow, you know, I'm on my way to become a professor. So she is my little sister, but she's my mentor.
Amen.
Amazing.
This is really good. And you know what I really like about what Dr. Brown is saying, creating a safe environment for our children. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but creating an environment that's conducive to learning.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you find, and what I'm witnessing today is that, you have a lot of great, great teachers out here. And I always say the teachers are really underpaid.
Yes.
They are underpaid.
Yes.
You also have some teachers that aren't so great. So Dr. Brown, I want to ask a question. What are some of the things that you want to change or prop up or build up or enhance, after you win this election?
Well, the first thing is I really want to build community support. And when I say community support, I mean partnering with parents to get them to understand that it takes a village. I know that sounds cliche and corny and people want to say all those things, but it really does. The fact of the matter is that you have to have parents involved with their children.
Mm-hmm.
The older the children become, say for instance around middle school, like say for instance elementary, everybody comes. Everybody wants to be part of that process because their babies are there and they're wonderful and they want to make sure that they're getting what they need. But by the time they start getting to the 7th to 8th grade, parent participation begins to drastically fall off. They say, well, oh, my child, you know, they're able to kind of, you know, take care of themselves and, you know, they can be there in the evening while I'm working. Mm-hmm. That child needs you more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They need you involved in the schools. I've gone out to visit numerous schools. I've talked with principals and they say, well, you know, we need the parental support. We need our parents engaged. That would be one of my biggest challenges that I would like to face. Mm-hmm. Also looking at the funding for Chesterfield County Schools, we look at how much funding goes into instruction, over $600 million, and we're not reaping the full benefit of what our students should be getting for that money that's being spent. Mm. And so we look at the fact that they have passed unbalanced budgets for several years. That's like me sending you to the store with $50 and saying get $100 worth of stuff and you need to figure out how you're going to get it. And I'm sure you all are probably thinking, what did she just say? Meaning that when you pass an unbalanced budget, you are actually spending for capital area improvement, meaning buildings, meaning new projects, mm-hmm. and you don't have the money to pay for it.
Mm.
And that's why that's a problem. That's called fiscal responsibility. They're not exercising that. That's like putting a second mortgage on a house when you already have a first mortgage.
Right.
How are you going to figure that you're going to pay for the second one when you haven't finished paying for the first one?
Absolutely.
So that's what they're doing. But those are some of the things that I would like to tackle. Number one, the budget. Looking at what we can do to streamline and to utilize monies more efficiently. Also, safe schools, as far as working with resource officers, trying to find funding for more resource officers. We often say, okay, well, we hear bad stories. Well, for every bad story, we hear 20 and 30 good stories about how they have supported schools, how they have helped students, how they have supported programs, and really given students an opportunity to be better, to be safe, to be able to learn. I spoke with a colleague the other day and she said she didn't know she was going to be charged. And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean charged? And she says, I broke up a fight the other day and I don't know if I'm going to be charged because I had to get in between the two and I had to push one student away from another. That's not a safe environment.
That's not.
I want to work to be able to have an environment, like I said, that's conducive to learning for all of our students. I want to be able to look at where students are coming in as far as their reading levels. Also working with instruction, also working with quality teachers in the classrooms again. Looking at how we're going to be able to provide that service. Say, for instance, teachers may get $500 for professional development. And when we say professional development, it's not just taking a class over the summer. That's also, if you have a bachelor's degree, going back and earning a master's degree or maybe earning a doctorate to help yourself be more successful in the classroom or just for a personal attribute to say that you are going to the next level and that you can move from being a teacher to maybe an administrator or a specialist within the curriculum, but to actually enhance instruction. If I give you $500 and a class costs $1,200, where are you going to come up with the difference?
Mm-hmm.
People think that teachers are making, you know, getting raises and all of this. Teachers are still going into their own wallets and pocketbooks to provide for resources and services to their students. And that is a fact. People don't want to discuss that, but they think that the schools are providing all of these supplies, and they're not. Most of the time, teachers are going into their own pocketbooks and wallets to pay for what their students are using in the classroom. So we need to be looking at a variety of things to enhance instruction and to help students across the board.
You know, a couple of things that you mentioned, and I just jotted down a few because you said a lot here, and I don't want to get into the gist of this, but what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick music break, we're going to come back, and the first thing that I want to ask on the other end is you talk about parental involvement,
yes.
And we all know and realize that's so important.
Yes.
Let's talk about how to get parents involved.
Yes.
Let's talk about that on the way back.
We'll do.
All right. Now, this song, if I can get this to play for you, again, this segment, this platform is called Cultural Excellence in Business, Music, Art, Education, and so forth, you know. And I love this because it gives me a chance, Dr. Brown and Dr. Aldridge, to present people like you, Dr. Brown, and talk about what your plans are, what your goals are, and especially with education, because we know that it's so valuable.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
And I see a dumbing down of society, and I want to talk about that on the way back. Yes, I believe a change is going to come. I do.
I was born 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know
right, we're back. You know, I know many of you out there, you guys thought that was Sam Cooke. A lot of you did.
Yes, I did.
Well, you would be wrong. That is Mr. Vail Omar. And let me reiterate something. This segment or this platform is called Cultural Excellence, you know, in business, in music, in art, in education, all right? I don't often put it in that order, but you get the gist. Mr. Vail Omar is very much a part of this network. He's an artist that is well known in some areas, but not all over the nation. A lot of people haven't heard, but you can close your mind. There are many songs by him, and you would think that he is Sam Cooke, and he's just absolutely excellent. We have two or three other artists like that, and I'm going to play some of those throughout. Perhaps we'll get a chance to play it throughout this segment. We'll see if we can slip it in, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this conversation with Dr. Brown. Dr. Charletta Barringer Brown, and she's running for the Dale District School Board. And folks, if you listen to her for a few minutes, you would say, yes, this is what we need. I have a few other questions, but I'm going to ask Dr. Joe Aldrich to jump in. I know you have a few questions
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, Dr. Barringer Brown, I'd like to ask you, in what position do candidates without a knowledge of education and politics put the school districts?
I'm sorry, just say that one more time.
In what position do candidates without a wealth of knowledge of education and politics put the school districts in?
That's the problem now. The fact of the matter is that I am the only candidate who brings the background, the skills, the knowledge, and the understanding to start the job the first day. As I spoke to this before, that we're passing and approving unbalanced budgets. Who would be doing that? You do that when you don't have the experience and knowledge and pulling the wool over your eyes. In a business, you would never do that unless you want to go bankrupt. And it seems to be more than fine for a public school. And so we are not fiscally minded, do not understand what teachers go through. As far as even a certification or even understanding what a qualified or underqualified teacher is, understanding what administrators deal with, understanding what students need to be successful. It is one thing when you think about the composition of a school board. And yes, all voices need to be heard. But when you have all five being the same with no understanding, no background, no knowledge, that's what we've had before and it hasn't worked. That's why I try to stress to voters and to just the people that I meet that I am telling you that yes, the qualifications to be on the school board are minimal. Anyone can meet that criteria if you don't have a criminal background. But the fact of the matter is that we want more for our children. I want more for the generations coming behind me. I want them to be successful. That's the reason that I state I'm a lifelong resident of Chesterfield County. I am a product of the Chesterfield County Public Schools. I stand before you showing you the excellence that that particular school district has to offer. And I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I have taken the time to talk to many people in my community to find out the needs and to also know how to address them. I do have people that do not understand what a school board member would do. And I then take the time to explain to them that some of the things they've asked me to do, I would be outright lying if I told them, yes, I can do that, because that's not the capability nor the role of a school board. I've explained to them what we can do and what we can't do. And I know that when I make a promise, I am very results driven. And I know that I would follow through with any promise that I make because I have the experience, the background, and the knowledge to do so.
Dr. Brown, I'd like to ask you, without naming anyone in particular, what were some of the outrageous things that, because I don't think people fully understand the duties and responsibilities of a school board member.
Certainly. School board members really evaluate the superintendent. Number one, that's the most important job of a school board. Mm-hmm. Number two, they evaluate the curriculum. And the curriculum is set by the state standard, meaning that the Virginia Department of Education sets the curriculum for all public schools. It's not the other way around. Also looking at the hiring personnel actions, meaning that all teachers that are hired, everyone from a bus driver to a cafeteria worker, the school board actually reviews their credentials for that particular position. Also, school boards also look at the budget, meaning capital area projects, the need for schools to be built in a particular zone or area, and the funding model that is going to be used to pay for those particular schools or other capital area projects or improvements, meaning that if you have a school that is maybe 50 years old and they need to be updated because Wi-Fi doesn't work in that building anymore, that's a capital area project that they would have to get approved. Also looking at discipline referrals, like I said, back to personnel actions, anything that goes on within a school that would be a matter of that, the school board would handle.
Okay. You know, you can take over in a second here, Dr. Aldridge, again. But you said something, excellent questions, by the way, because you're telling me that a lot of the people that judge the superintendent, judge the curriculum,
yes,
get involved in the hiring practices, they're really unqualified to do so.
Well, that's the issue. And I try to get people to understand that, again, you can have an 18-year-old mayor. Doesn't mean they're highly qualified. It's just who the people voted for.
See, that's,
doesn't mean that they know anything about the structure or understanding of government itself. They like Johnny because Johnny was cute and Johnny talked a good game. Mm-hmm. Johnny's 18 and he meets the criteria to be the mayor somewhere, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get a whole lot from that. Normally, in the scheme of things, when you have that, you have a city manager or planner and those kinds of things that actually do the work of that. But with the school board, you can have depending on the number or size of that particular committee, everyone on that committee can meet the bare minimum and that's it. And make those hard decisions for taxpayer dollars, for children, for several generations, yes.
How much does cronyism play into that?
As far as the hiring?
Yes.
Well, the school board in Chesterfield County, they're elected officials for the school board, meaning that it's just a number of votes that each person would get when you're running.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just blown. My mind is blown because, my background other than radio is in finance.
Yes.
And you have to have certain qualifications in order to do that.
Yes.
I'm serious. It is one of the toughest licenses to get.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. And that's my point. Okay, when I walked around and I've talked to people, and like I said, again, people on the street, they recognize you and they ask you questions, you know, off the cuff. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you know how much money, again, is the total operating budget for the Chesterfield County Public Schools? Do you know how much they're spending for instruction? Mm. And people told me, 6 million, 42 million. I said, let's go a little higher. 100 million. You know, like they think they're, and I said, no, we're talking over 600 million for instruction, combined, over 800 million total. And they're looking like, what? And you've just asked the question of, well, the qualifications to become a certified, you know, financier, as it were. There's qualifications. That's why I keep stressing the fact that I'm a fully licensed and certified. I was a certified teacher. I'm a certified administrator up to the superintendent's license with the Virginia Department of Education. And to some people, they just look at you like they're dumbfounded, because I'm like, wouldn't you want someone who has that background and understanding of all levels to make those important decisions for you? Some people don't have that's not part of the qualification process. The qualification process is that you meet the basic criteria, which is set by the school board in whatever city or county, and that's the bare minimum that you need, not to say that you know anything about education in general.
You know, that's really astonishing to me. So who sets the parameters, or who set the guidelines on who can qualify to be that? Who does that?
The policy is basically based on a school board that was set up. That's how it's done. They just come up with a criteria of who should be allowed to participate in that process, meaning the elected officials to that particular board.
How can we change that?
Well, number one, I'm running and I'm trying to make those changes. I told people, I said,
great answer.
You've got to elect people who actually have a background in education, a background in public administration. Mm-hmm. My background is public policy and law. Public administration, wow. Being a public administrator. And so when you would have people who actually have the background and the understanding and the knowledge to make those changes policy-wise, then you would do that. It also starts at the county level, but also at the state level, looking at those particular changes. But those are the bare minimum requirements that you need, and yet you have so many people who do not have the understanding, the background, or the knowledge, and this is what we're left with.
See, Dr. Ulrich, I am blown away by that. Because we're talking about most precious commodities we have, which are our children.
Yes.
And you are leaving it in the hands of people that aren't qualified to make the decisions that will impact their lives.
That is correct. I mean, like I said, I tell people, I said, just because someone talks a good game and promises you things, and when you go ahead and I tell you to go ahead and read what a school board actually does, they're like, oh, I don't have the time to do that. You tell me. Oh. And it's like the other person is telling you something, or whoever is telling you something out there, they're telling you something for, and I'm just going to be very, very clear. When you are running, you will have candidates who will promise you the moon to get in that position.
Absolutely.
And then constituents are mad if they voted for that person and say, well, you promised me this, 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 and this. That's what you went by. You didn't check yourself to see what the school board actually does.
Absolutely.
They promise you things that the school board member wouldn't even be able to do.
Isn't that something?
And you went along with it and you liked it. Sounded good at the time.
Amazing, amazing.
It's amazing because, you know, people are passing out buttons, they're passing out literature, and you get to the voting poll and they're saying, vote for my candidate. And you haven't researched.
No.
You haven't done any research.
No.
It could just be because you know that person or know somebody that knows that person.
Right.
So then it becomes a popularity contest versus, you know, have you ever taken the time to do the research?
Yeah.
To see who you're putting in that seat.
It's crazy. It is absolutely. Yeah, go on, I'm sorry.
Angry when you're not getting the things that this person promised you. Mm-hmm. But and we've known all through history that people have promised us things, even up to the presidents.
Yeah, yeah.
They will promise you
the moon,
the world, the moon, just to get your vote.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and let's talk about, again, parental involvement.
Yes.
What ideas do you have, Dr. Brown, on how to get parents more engaged? Because, like you said, if you go to a PTA meeting, it's probably, you know, I'm just guessing right now, but I'm going back several years now.
Yes.
there weren't a lot of parents that participated.
No.
Okay. So no, how, what, some ideas that you have to get more parents involved?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have talked to many parents along the way, just like I said, being a teacher, being an administrator, and then most recently. And a lot of parents will come to me and say that, you know what, I was ashamed that I didn't have the skills to help my child. Mm-hmm. It has to be a community effort. Mm-hmm. We have to step out of being ashamed and help your child. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you, it's like a selling point. It's like I'm having to sell to you that you need to be involved in your child's academic progress.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
And it just came across. Now, is it a good idea, I'm just throwing this out, to say, okay, we have, and send a letter out to the parents, say you're in a district or whatever it is. Okay. We are having something special just for the parents, not necessarily maybe a school board meeting or anything like that, mm-hmm. but we want to get to know our parents and have a special event or something that they can just come and mingle mm-hmm. and communicate with one another. And someone like you, and I would love if someone like you did something like this, would conduct that and tell them what is involved, why it's important for them to be involved, how critical it is for the children's education, for their child's education.
Well, basically with the school board has to then partner with PTAs and PTOs mm-hmm. because it is not a function of the school board.
Okay.
That's right.
It is not. And that's what I think, once again, if I said, oh, yes, I'm definitely going to do that, that's not even a function of the school board.
Okay. But let me ask you.
Yes.
So, is that something that, say, for instance, I understand partnering with the PTAs.
Yes, partnering with the PTAs, partnering with the schools.
Okay.
Basically, I mean, this is something that, say, for instance, when you're talking about each district and each principal, each locality, each school, the PTOs, PTAs would then partner with those communities and then begin that work of working with faith-based leaders, community-based leaders, nonprofits to get those parents involved. There are many areas within the Dale District where we don't say English as a second language, we say English language learners. Yes. That I remember working with, Falling Creek Elementary, Middle, and Meadowbrook High School. Mm-hmm. They have very large numbers of English language learners. The parents, there are a lot of parents there that do not feel connected to the schools because they don't speak the language, as it mm-hmm. were. And so when you're going out, you need to be able to tap into community partnerships to help bring them in, to help be a partnership, meaning that help the parents get the skills that they need through adult education to also help their child while they're going to school. But we need to say that this needs to be something that they need to partner with the districts in, meaning that when you think about that, the school board doesn't do that. That would be overstepping, overreaching. Mm. But what I would recommend is that PTAs work with the school boards to help bring that into play, because the school board cannot do that.
Right. What's the difference between a PTA and a PTO?
Well, parent-teacher organizations, they're basically, it's like a parent-teacher associations or parent-teacher organization with teachers. They're all the same. It's just a different wording or different type or either size or location.
Okay, okay.
And also, the regulations are
Slightly different.
Slightly different.
And the dues.
PTA has very strict regulations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to abide by them. For instance, you have to have, you know, you have your constitution, you have
your bylaws.
Bylaws, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, constitution and bylaws. Yes. And you have your job responsibilities, and the dues, you know, it's just, it's very organized and regulated. That's the best way to put it.
Yes.
Whereas mm-hmm. the PTO is, it doesn't go under the strenuous guidelines of a PTA.
I see. Okay. Okay.
So
very good.
You have more flexibility mm-hmm. in the things that you do, like your elections and things like that.
Okay. Boy, this is going by faster than I thought. I've got another artist I want to showcase here tonight. Just one more song. Do we come back with a few more questions, Dr. Brown? Can you hang around for a few more minutes?
Certainly.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Love it. Love it, Dr. Aldridge. Thank you so much. And I think this is vitally important. And what I'm going to ask Dr. Brown is you come back again. And, you know, and especially before election time, we don't want.
Absolutely.
And then after you're elected, come on in. I'm just putting it out there. Okay,
can
I'm claiming
it. Can we have a party in the studio? Can we have a celebration?
Why not?
Exactly.
Celebration.
And guess what we're going to do, Dr. Brown? We're going to play the music you like.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yes.
Okay. Yes. This is an artist right here. You guys may have heard him. His name is Pastor, get this, Derek the Change Man Smith. Mm-hmm. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's a comedian. He's a soul singer. He's a gospel singer. He's a blues singer. And like I mentioned before, he's also a pastor. And he's part of this network. He comes on. I don't know where you ladies will be working at this time or not. But 11 o'clock each and every day from Monday through Friday.
We're working.
Okay, put your earbuds in. Okay. And he has a show on his network called The Get Up to Get Down Morning Show. Okay. And it really is, it's something, it's really inspiring. But anyway, this is one of his, new songs. He also put that song out, I don't know what you heard about it or not, called Don't Let the Corona Get On You.
Oh wow.
Oh, I've heard it.
Okay.
Yeah. And that one has over 3 million views.
Oh wow.
And he was even recognized, by Whoopi Goldberg, on The View.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. And this is his, one of his new songs. It's called Love Me. Be right back, with, Dr. Charletta Barringer Brown and Dr. Aldridge and yours truly. Be right back after this, folks. Let's see. Let's do this. All right.
Baby. Oh, yeah. Y'all might as well come on. Put your hands together right here. Oh, yeah. Listen. I said love. The way that I love you. Yeah. Promise you that you'll always be true. Yeah. Don't play with my loving, honey, 'cause I don't think that's funny. Love me. Oh, love me, yeah. Love me. Tell me. My love it, baby. That's the kind of stuff that makes me crazy. Love me. Oh, love me, baby. Hey, yeah, yeah. Yes, I've been in love before. But let me tell you, ooh, love made me cry. Love made me cry. Yeah. And them girls, they look good too. I can't take it, take it, no.
This is Derek the Change Man Smith. This is Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Again, that's Derek the Change Man Smith. Dr. Brown, Dr. Aldridge, do you know he's a Virginia boy?
Yes.
Yes, yes. He's from Farmville, right on Farmville, Virginia.
Okay. Huh? Right.
Yes, yes, yes. Good. Just a talented, talented young man.
Absolutely.
Yep, yep, absolutely. And you can check him out, like I said, Monday through Friday right here, 11 a.m., right here. And in case you missed it, you can go to my fan page, Studio W underscore Buzz. Or, tell you better still, you can go to the website. That's studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com. If you have a friends, family, or just acquaintances outside of the United States, you can still reach out the website by just simply going to studiow.buzz. Australia, Germany, the UK, it doesn't matter. Canada, all over the place. I forgot Puerto Rico. Let's see, we have friends also in Panama, Hawaii, it's all over the place.
How about Africa?
Yeah, we do.
Good.
Oh, yep, absolutely, absolutely. All over the planet. And I wish they could vote for you too, Dr. Brown. No, absolutely.
Let's just open it up.
Let's open it up. Let's, why not? Why not? Do some of our own gerrymandering.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though we don't live in Chester. We want good, the best for all of our students.
Yeah, we do. Speaking of which, something else you mentioned earlier about the budget. How much, in your opinion, okay, you may not be able to put a pinpoint, or maybe you do have a figure, wasteful spending goes on. And I'm going to tell you why I asked this. Before I became a broker, stockbroker, several years ago, I was working for another company, and we used to supply office equipment, for schools. And it was something really, I thought that was really, really stupid going on. Now, this was in California. I don't know how much it happens here in Virginia. Okay. That the teachers, each of them had a budget. And they had to spend that money. It was like use it or lose it. And there was stockpiles of unused equipment in warehouses. And I'm saying, what a waste. It makes no sense at all. I mean, maybe you didn't need the money at that particular time. Carry the money over. And so the teacher said, I have to spend this money. I have to spend it, which I thought is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Does that go on here?
Yes, it does. Oftentimes you will see people buying assessment tests and they never even use them. It's just a matter of utilizing certain funds by a certain time period. And they'll end up just buying things that they will not be using because they've been tasked to do so.
Isn't that something? And see, not only did they buy this equipment in California, they stored in warehouses. So guess what? You had to rent a warehouse too, didn't you?
That's right.
So you got money. Good money.
Storage, yes.
I mean, just throwing money after money after money, and it's not having any useful purpose.
No.
Is that something that the school board can address and change?
Right. That's one of the duties of a school board is the budget. The annual budget, operating budget, all of that goes under the auspice of the school board.
Okay. And let's talk, and since, can't we, like we said, you have teachers right now that's going into their own pockets to make sure that their students have what they need.
Yes.
Can that money be reversed back and pay the teachers more instead of wasting it on equipment that they don't need?
That's the thing. That's why, like I said, when looking at the budget and really understanding it, understanding where the spending is occurring is number one. Sitting down and being able to do that as a school board member is what I would look forward to doing, and streamlining expenditures and helping with fiscal responsibility is one of my main goals. Wow. Like I said, I have three main goals: safety, fiscal responsibility, and instruction.
Okay.
Just very basically.
Okay. One other thing. Oh, no, go on. I'm sorry.
Those are the three biggest.
Okay.
Absolutely. Those are majors. And people say, oh, well, those are so simple. No, they're not, because the schools are not as safe as what you think they are. No. We need to be working on that. We need to provide, a safe space for instruction.
Uh-huh.
We need to be able to have a fiscally minded budget, meaning that we're not just spending money that we don't have, because that then goes back to the taxpayers. We want to see benefit from what we're spending.
Okay.
You would expect that in any business. Why are we not expecting that in education?
Absolutely.
It's not a factory. We understand it's not a factory. That's not what I'm stating. But we're not reaping full benefit of the expenditures that we're making.
That's really amazing. Speaking of expenditures, mm-hmm. and money's coming in,
mm-hmm.
how much does the lottery contribute to the schools?
Truthfully, it's very minimal. You would think by the way that they advertise it that schools are getting all this money. No,
right.
They're not. It's so minimal. And then, say for instance, if you think about $1 million and you think about Chesterfield County especially, and you think about the five areas within that are represented, you think about, okay, $1 million here, $1 million there, or whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
and you break it down to all the schools in that district.
Oh, no. That's nothing.
That's my point. And that's why, like I said, it's advertised like they're giving so much money. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, anything always helps no matter where, you know, no matter the, I mean, obviously we care about the source. Look, don't get me wrong. We care about where the money is coming from.
Right.
But the way that it is advertised versus the breakdown is very minimal.
That's
right. And
sweet.
I want to say, there we go again, mm-hmm. making promises.
Right.
Exactly.
We're making promises.
We got the lottery here in Virginia.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the first place.
Right.
Because as you know, we didn't have lottery in Virginia.
No. And that was one of the selling points.
They promised to give the money to the schools.
Right.
That the schools would benefit. So all the educators, of course, voted to bring the lottery in.
Mm-hmm. And you got the powers to be that could, if they chose to, do something about that.
Yeah.
Yes. But no one, like I said again, education is only a priority when it's election time.
Isn't that something?
And absolutely. I worked, you're talking to a political scientist. I mean, it's only a priority to get those votes and to do all of that during election time. Otherwise, education is not a priority. Everybody talks about how, you know, children are the future and we care for our teachers mm-hmm. and we want the best for our teachers, yet you don't show it.
Right.
You have not a regard for the children mm-hmm. or the teachers or the administrators. And even partnering with the parents is just not real. It's just something that is always put on the back burner. It's like I said, it's a selling point for votes, but no one really puts the time in. They don't put their money where their mouth is.
Right, right. Well, I could see like someone like you with your thinking progressive. May I say that's progressive?
I guess so, yes.
Okay.
I would hope so. I mean, like I said, I feel as though it's level-headed. It's common sense, but we've removed ourselves
that
so
too.
Far from that's, you know, it's a question sometimes.
That too. You know, I just hope that they are more like you, and we're going to do everything. This network, we promise this, that we will do any and everything we can to promote you. Each and every chance I get a chance to talk about you, I'm going
Thank
to do
you.
That.
Thank you.
We have gained quite an audience here in Richmond since I've relocated from California to Richmond.
Certainly.
Richmond has been bouncing, believe it or not, been bounced between California, Los Angeles and Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
We bounced back one and two, you know, right?
Yeah.
But I'm certainly going to talk about it. I was talking about you earlier. I was at Haywood Hair Images right up the street. Mr. Haywood Watkins, folks.
Yeah, been around for a long time.
54 years.
Yeah.
54 years.
He's a master at what he does.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing we took about the interview that we had is that there are certain things that work in business.
Yes.
And there's certain, and some of the same things can work in education.
Right. Yes.
Okay. And there's certain models, and you can be successful if you follow certain models. Okay.
Yes.
As far as it's concerned. Number one, you have to have, and I don't want to look at our children as a product, okay, because they're human, right? But also, but look at them as being valuable, like we give lip service saying they're valuable. So number one, you got that.
Yes.
Number two, have a plan like you do, doctor, and I could tell from the way you're talking on how you're going to improve things. And then also being able to sustain what you've already started.
That's right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And in business also, you really have to watch your budget.
Exactly.
Because if you overspend what's coming in, you won't be in business long.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I tell people. I'm like, you have to be responsible. You can't go out here and say, well, you know, I have $50 in my pocket and I'm going to spend $75. You might end up in a place that you don't want to be.
That's right.
But we're saying it's all good and fine if it's education.
That's so it makes no sense.
We're just not following a good path of business or even responsibility with that.
Wow.
I would like to ask you,
please,
Dr. Barringer Brown.
Yes.
What do you propose as a solution for this teacher shortage that we
that's a national
problem.
Right.
It's not just limited to Chesterfield or Richmond, Henrico. What do you propose? We seem to be recycling teachers.
That's the thing.
They leave one county, go to another.
Exactly.
As soon as one district offers more money or a bonus, or a sign-on bonus, they leave.
Yes.
And then we have people who are leaving other professions coming into teaching because they think, at least I'll have a job. I can get a provisional license or, you know, I just think I'd like to teach.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, that's one of the biggest things for, like I said, again, it goes back to safety in the schools. I can remember being a teacher and I understand very clearly that if I did not have the support of my administrator, if I did not have the support of my parents, and like I said, I partnered with my parents when I was teaching. I have taught elementary, middle, and high school, and I partnered with those parents. I had students who were LD, who were reading below grade level, who were reading two grade levels ahead when I finished. And I pride myself on being an educator that put her all into that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that for every teacher that's leaving, you're hard pressed to replace them. There are so many that are leaving the profession because they don't have the support. They don't have the backing. They don't have the financial wherewithal. Teacher salaries have still not kept up with the minimum of any other profession. Meaning that I was a master teacher. A master teacher means that I had a master's degree. I was fully certified. Well, I had a master's degree. I look at my friends in other fields that were making so much more money than I was, putting in fewer hours. What is the draw?
Really?
What is the draw? And people are not being honest about that. They think, oh, you know, 50 years ago when you told somebody, oh, it's such a noble thing to teach.
Yes.
Well, when you're looking at your friends being able to pay their bills and do what they need to do, you can't sell that.
Amen.
What are the perks that you're going to give a teacher to stay in the classroom and be a good, fully certified, credentialed teacher?
Absolutely.
You're going to give them a safe environment. You're going to give them an equitable salary. You're going to give them the supports they need to better and enhance their professional career, which means that you're going to be able to provide a little bit more with support to pay for those classes or find a way to end up paying for that education or help supplement that education. We need to find other creative ways to draw teachers to teaching. And like I said again, they could be anywhere. They could be Chesterfield County. They could be Richmond. They could be across the country. But you're losing more teachers because of those things not being in place.
Mm. You know, I have talked to people that was in the school district here in Richmond, Virginia area. They worked there. And they were saying, especially in some of these high schools, they said, it is just a horrible, horrible environment. And they left because of that environment. And like you said, they could go to another business.
Yes.
Take on another career and maybe make double without the headache.
Exactly.
So why should I get the headache? And not unless you are just one of these people, and there are many of you out there that's really say, okay, I'm just going to dedicate because I just love children and I really want the best for them.
Yes.
So, Dr. Brown.
You have to love the person.
Do you have another question? Because, we just ran out of time, but.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We have to come back.
We've got to come back.
Yes. Come back and finish.
We must come back. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
We want you to come back.
Come back.
Okay. And you can come back a few times before election time. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I love this.
I truly
absolutely
appreciate
love it.
And I'm grateful to those that are listening. And we have listeners that are located in the Dale District. Again, my name is Dr. Charlotta Barringer Brown, and I am running for Dale District School Board. And I would appreciate your vote if you can go to my website, take a look at my platform, and see what I stand for. And you can also communicate with me through my Facebook and also through my campaign website as well. If you would like to email me, I will respond.
Okay. Let's just have, how do they reach your website? And please provide your email address and your information on Facebook.
Certainly. My email address is my last name, Barringer Brown, for the word for, F-O-R, school board. Barringer Brown with no hyphen, Barringer Brown for school board at gmail.com. Barringer Brown for school board at gmail.com. My Facebook correct page is Dr.Charletta Barringer Brown with a hyphen for school board. Again, that is my Facebook page, Dr. Charletta Barringer Brown for school board. That's my Facebook page. My, I think my campaign website page is Barringer Brown for school board, BarringerBrownForSchoolBoard.com.
Oh, wow. And you know, I tell you what, and also folks, you can go to, my website to hear this interview again. It will be up in the next 24, no longer than 48 hours from now. Just go to, studiow.buzz. That's just as simple. You can reach us anywhere around the world with that one. Studio, www.studiow.buzz. www.studiow.buzz. B-U-Z-Z. Don't, two Z's now, okay? Studio W.Buzz. And also Facebook, Studio W underscore Buzz. You can see this interview again there. And also we will be posting things and sharing. And so if you are happen to be a friend of mine, William A. Brown, Studio W Buzz, or if you like our, or if you, frequently, or frequent our, fan page, then go to Studio W, underscore Buzz and share it with a friend, share it with somebody. Let's get the information out. Let's get this doctor, elected to school board, Dale District School Board. Any closing remarks, Dr. Aldridge?
I just want to say that it has been a pleasure, to be on the show with Dr. Barringer Brown. Like I said, I've known her over 20 years and she never ceases to amaze me. And I am definitely going to come up with some kind of campaign slogan for Shirley Chisholm. That was new. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, we're going to, and then I'm going to share, we know a few, I know a few educators, and we're going to get that word out, as often as possible. I'm going to announce it on as many platforms where suitable there. And, let's do this again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And if, even if you don't live in the Dale District, I don't live in the Dale District, but I have lots of friends and relatives. Mm-hmm. In the Dale District. So I am certainly going to be campaigning for her and encouraging my family and friends to do the research. Yes. Before you vote, make sure you do the research so that you select the best candidate for this position.
And if you did the research, the choice is easy.
It's easy.
That's right. It's Dr. Charletta Barringer Brown. I'm telling you, because I'm so thoroughly impressed with her a delivery, what she stands for. I mean, I'm just thoroughly, thoroughly impressed. And can you imagine if we had more like her, Dr. Aldridge, and more like you?